Luke chapter 17 in your Bible this morning. I want to read the preaching passage for today from Luke 17. I want to begin reading in verse number 11. Speaking of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, "It came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village there, met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Luke chapter 17. This is one of the great stories here in Luke 17 about caring for people. Being appreciative of people. Recognizing value in people. I was reading a story, it's a true story. Came from a school teacher in New York years ago. Small high school class. And the teacher decided that she wanted to honor her seniors. And so she had each senior come to the front of the class and she told each senior personally what a difference that person had made in the class that year. And she found something, she knew something about each of those students that was significant in value that they brought to the class. And she spoke to each of them and spoke to the class, honoring each of those seniors. After it was all over, she got to thinking about it and she thought, you know, we ought to do something more than just what we did in class today. We ought to make this kind of like a project. And so the next day when the students came to school, she had a bunch of ribbons. And or maybe it might have been the next week because she had a bunch of ribbons and she had on the ribbons, "You made a difference." And she gave 3 ribbons to each of those seniors and talked about a challenge for a class project. She said, "I want each of you seniors to think of somebody that's made a difference in your life. Somebody in the community that has made a difference in your life. I want you to go to that person this week. I want you to tell them the difference they've made in your life. And then I want you to give them a ribbon that says, 'You made a difference.' And then I want you to ask them if they would be willing to help with a class project and take the last 2 ribbons and to think of somebody in their life that's made a difference to them and go to that person and tell them what a difference they had made in their life and present them with a ribbon that said, 'You made a difference,' and ask them if they'd be willing to take the 3rd and final ribbon and take that to somebody that has made a difference in their life and tell them what a difference they've made in their life and give it to them." So the class dispersed in the small community, and one of the seniors had met with a businessman in town who had helped him with some career planning questions that he had. And he immediately thought of that businessman. And so he went to that businessman. He was a kind of a junior executive in a firm. And he went to that businessman and he told the businessman that he had made a difference in that senior's life, in the time he spent with him and the questions he answered and the advice that he gave him. And he thanked him for making a difference, and he gave him a ribbon. You made a difference. And he asked him, he said, would you be willing to take these last two ribbons and go to somebody that's made a difference in your life? And he did it. And he got to thinking, he's a junior executive, he got to thinking, he thought about the executive that was a couple of rungs up on the ladder from him, who was known as kind of a hard-nosed kind of a guy, kind of a hard-to-get-along-with guy. But a guy that had, that this junior executive had seen some real ingenuity in the way he thought. And so he went to that boss and he made an appointment and he went in and he told him, he says, you know, you have made a real difference in my life. And I want to share with you this ribbon that says you made a difference. Told him the story about the high school and the seniors and the project. He said, I just want you to know that you made a difference in my life. And this school project made me think of you. And then he said, would you be willing to take this last ribbon and participate in the school project and give it to someone that's made a difference in your life? The executive said he would. He took the ribbon and end of the day, got this car and he was driving home. And he was on his way home. He was thinking about this event that occurred that day. When he got home, at the dinner table, he said to his wife and his teenage son, he says, you know, he said, the craziest thing happened today. And told the story about what had happened. And the executive, busy, hard-driving executive, he said, you know, he says, I got to thinking about someone that's made a difference in my life. And he looked over at his teenage son. He said, son, I know we don't spend much time together. And I'm always at work, and I'm always doing this, and I'm always doing that. And when I am at home, I'm tired, and I'm irritable, and probably hard to get along with. And you've probably never heard me say this before, but he says, outside of your mom, there's no one in this world more important than me than you are. Son, you've made a difference in my life, and I love you. And the teenage son broke down and began to weep. And he just sobbed, his whole body shaking in sobs. When he finally got his composure, he says, Dad, tomorrow I'm committing suicide because I thought nobody cared about me. That night changed that teenage boy's life because somebody took a moment to say, you made a difference in my life and I see value in you. Thank you for making a difference in my life. True story. Public school teacher in New York. And the story of a class project that ended up saving the life of a teenager in the community. Because a busy dad stopped long enough to say, you have value. You know, it's an important thing to see value in people. It's an important thing to be aware that somebody has brought something to me that is important to me, that has value to me. And you know, the ability to see quality worth appreciating is a learned ability. Let me say that again. The ability to see value in another person is a learned ability. Because we're born with a selfishness in our nature, our broken, fallen, sinful nature that wars against seeing value in others and only seeing value in ourselves. And the ability to see value in another and then the ability to tell them that you've seen value and benefited from them is a learned ability, and it's a critical part of each of us as a person. Here's the bottom line up front, the little bluff this morning. The bottom line up front of this sermon is be aware of value and express it. Be aware of value in other people and express that value. I find that lesson taught here in the story that we read just a moment ago, a story of Jesus healing 10 lepers. This story has a definite purpose in Jesus' evangelistic ministry as he is nearing Jerusalem and towards the last stage of his public ministry before he will end up in Jerusalem where he will be put to death on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus Christ is continually trying to reach the hearts of the religious priests, the religious leaders, the hypocrites religiously in Israel who have yet to recognize who Jesus Christ is and see the value in what Jesus Christ had been teaching. And Jesus is taking every opportunity, every inroad to get into the hearts and minds of the priests of Israel. And so this story revolves around 10 lepers whom Jesus sent to the priests. And on their way to the priests, Jesus cleansed them of their leprosy. And those lepers will show up at the priests as changed individuals, miraculously changed, cleansed from their leprosy. And this will be a dynamic statement to the priests, the religious leaders of Israel. Jesus is who he claimed to be. There's a definite evangelistic thrust to what this story is all about. But in that evangelistic thrust, Jesus Christ teaches something that is emphatically taught in this story that is also a part of evangelism, and it's a part of parenting children to prepare their hearts for the Holy Spirit to draw them to Christ when they become of age to understand the truth of the gospel. And as parents, what is critical is not to get our children to say a prayer, but it's to prepare their hearts to hear the Holy Spirit. And what Jesus Christ taught in this story is a very important part of preparing the heart of a child to be able to respond when the Holy Spirit begins to convict them and draw them to Jesus Christ. Now, we read the story. It's a very simple story. Jesus Christ is in a village somewhere in the Galilee Samaritan area as he's traveling back and forth, to and fro, gradually making his way to Jerusalem. And there are 10 lepers. Now, they know who Jesus is. They call him by name. Verse number 13 says they called him Jesus' Master. They also knew he had the ability to do something for them. They asked for his mercy in their lives. And so here's 10 lepers who know who Jesus Christ is, who believe that Jesus Christ has the ability to do something they need, and they're asking for his mercy in their lives. Leprosy was a dreaded disease. It was not understood until more modern science. Finally, working with lepers for many years, a doctor, I don't remember his name, but he made the real breakthrough of beginning to understand what leprosy was and what caused leprosy. It's a result of a bacteria that attacks the nervous system, and it deadens all of the nerve endings. And so once the nerve endings are dead, the person can't feel anything. So if they go to scratch or do something on their face, they don't feel themselves scratching, so they scratch harder and harder and harder. One person, the doctor that finally made the breakthrough, he said that there was a man that destroyed his eyes. He would wash his face, but the nerve endings in his face had died, and so he didn't realize his hands, the extremities, he had lost his nerve, he couldn't feel. He did not realize he was using scalding water to wash his face. And he actually destroyed his own eyes and became blind because his hands and his skin couldn't feel the heat of the water, and he blinded himself trying to cleanse himself. Leprosy is a horrible disease. At the time, there was no cure for leprosy, and it was a death sentence, and it would gradually cause the nerve endings to die, and then a person would rub their thumb off or something. They would injure themselves and not know they were injured, and so they would gradually destroy their own bodies by their own activities living without feeling pain. And this leprosy, because it was so dreaded and because it was virtually a death sentence, it became to the people of Jesus' day an illustration or a picture of judgment. There is no cure for the judgment of God in one's life, the sin that brings judgment. There's no cure, and eventually you destroy yourself by your sinfulness. It became a picture of dreaded judgment from God. It was considered that any leper was a leper because God was judging him. You remember the one who said, the religious leader who asked Jesus of a blind man that was born blind. He said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that this man was born blind?" They believed that things of that nature were evidence of God's judgment. So 10 lepers, to the religious community of Jesus' day, their very presence was a proof that they were under the severe, horrific judgment of God. There was no hope for them. They had to live in colonies. They couldn't go near anybody because it was such a contagious disease that they had to keep so far away. If they saw somebody getting near them, they had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," to warn the person not to come near them. 10 men, dreaded lepers, at a distance from Jesus Christ, cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus yelled back, said, "Go show yourself to the priests," which was according to the Levitical law, Leviticus chapter 13. That if a leper was believed to have had leprosy in a mild form and had overcome that, which we came to know in modern science, a bacterial infection, if he became cured of that, they had a whole procedure they had to go through with the priests, for the priest to examine over a period of many days before they could be pronounced clean and be allowed to reorient themselves into the culture, to be able to go to the temple again to worship, to be able to live with other family members again. It was a whole ordeal. So Jesus Christ told the lepers, "Go to the priest and show yourself." Now they're still lepers. They turn and they begin walking into the village where they can go to the priest. They have enough faith in Jesus Christ that even still lepers, they begin walking and they begin to go to the village, to the priest. And as they were going, we don't know how far they went. We don't know what period of time. Just as they were going, all of a sudden, Jesus cleansed all 10 of them miraculously. Immediately, they were clean. There were 10 of them, which means one guy would see the other guy saying, "Look at your arm. Look at your hand." And they would look at you. And all of a sudden they realized all 10 were totally, completely cleansed. One of the men ran back to where Jesus Christ was, fell on his face before the feet of Jesus Christ, and glorify God. And the Bible says that in verse number 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. And then in verse number 18, Jesus said, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. But when they got back, they fell at Jesus' feet and gave glory to God. In other words, that one man knew Jesus was God. He turned back and he fell on his face before Jesus as God, recognizing the full identity of who Jesus Christ was. By the way, miracles of healings in the ministry of Jesus were always performed. We've studied, we've seen this over and over again as we've gone through the Gospels. They were performed to prove the identity of Jesus Christ. Every miracle, physical, nature, demonic, every miracle Jesus performed proved he was God incarnate in human flesh and had the ability to produce the kingdom promised from the Old Testament. He was the Messiah who could establish the kingdom of God on earth. And that man recognized the identity of who Jesus was, fell on his face, worshiped Jesus Christ as God. Amazing story, holding up the identity of Jesus as eternal God who became man, who had power and control over the human body, and who healed, cleansed lepers immediately and fully, proving he was God. Now, what can we learn about this? You see on your little worksheet, there's three truths. By the way, the one that came back was a Samaritan. Why did Jesus say that? Because he's trying to reach the religious hypocrites, the priests, who hate the Samaritans. The one that came back was a half-breed, a mongrel, Jew-Gentile, that the Jewish people called dogs. They hated them. Jesus would often point out whenever the grace of God included a Samaritan, Jesus would point it out and show that God loves the Samaritans. Jesus then called him a stranger, which was a term that meant someone who is from a different place. Someone who we would say maybe today a foreigner, or to bring it really up to date, we would call him an immigrant. You don't belong here. You're not from here. You're a stranger. Jesus pointed out that he was a Samaritan and a foreigner. As Jesus Christ reached out to this man that came back to him. Three very simple truths. Truth number one, Jesus shows grace to all people. Jesus shows grace to all people. Jesus, in verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Where are the other nine? Were there not nine healed? Weren't there not ten healed? Didn't I cleanse 10 lepers? Where are the nine? How come only one came back?" This Samaritan foreigner is the only one. Drawing a distinction between the one that came back and the nine that didn't. Which would lead us to believe the nine that didn't come back were Jewish people. And only this mongrel half-breed foreigner came back. Jesus drew a distinction between the one that came back and the ones that didn't come back. And Jesus Christ said this one came back to say thank you, to show gratitude. He came back to show appreciation. He came back to indicate that he saw value in Jesus Christ. And what Jesus Christ had done for him. Aren't you glad God loves all people? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ died for all people? There is no foreigner when it comes to the family of God. There is no mongrel when it comes to the family of God. That was despicable in Israel. Jesus hated that. The attitude, the superiority. What we would call in today's world racism. Although racism is a misnomer because there's only one race and that's the human race. There's never been any more than one race. There never will be any more than one race. There is only the human race. And it's the evolutionists that created the idea that there were different races. And it's torn our world apart. There's only one race. And with God, God doesn't see people on the basis of different races, different groups, different ethnicities. God sees people. Well, we used to teach our kids that. Still do, don't we? Jesus loves little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They're precious in His sight. You know, children need to learn that truth from the way dad and mom talk about people more than in the song they sing as they go to bed at night. You would have never got the idea from listening to Jesus Christ that there was anything different amongst people. He loved everybody. He reached out to everybody. And He cared about everybody. And when
the religious hypocrites of Israel couldn't embrace Christ because of his attitude towards all people, Jesus Christ would save someone that they hated. And then he would say, hey, did you notice who that was? It was a Samaritan foreigner. The one that came back. The one that came back and saw value in Jesus Christ. And came back to show appreciation to Jesus Christ for what Jesus Christ had done for him. This is the common grace of God to all mankind. God loves everybody. Here's the second truth. The second truth is that Jesus expects a response to his grace. Every one of us have experienced the grace of God. I want you to understand, Jesus expects a response from you for the grace of God he has extended to you. This is the core issue of sinfulness in the human heart. You see, God expects a response. Verse number 15, Jesus Christ said that one of them came back, glorified God with a loud voice. And Jesus Christ pointed out, said, didn't I cleanse 10? Where are the 9? Jesus expected and Jesus was aware. Jesus is aware when people receive his grace and don't respond with appreciation. He's aware of that. Jesus is aware if you're not grateful to him for what he's done in your life. Jesus is aware if you take his gifts and never even think about where they came from. Jesus is aware of that. Jesus is aware if he answers a prayer, if he deals with something you have a need of in your life, and you enjoy the grace of God extended to you, and you don't even talk to him about it, and glorify him, and thank him, and praise him for what he's done, Jesus is aware of your ingratitude. He was aware of the ingratitude of those 9 that didn't come back and say thank you. Jesus Christ expects a response. And here's where it comes in to the Christian life. Are we grateful people? Do our children learn from listening to us talk that we are so thankful to God for what he's done for us? Do they learn from our behavior that we are appreciative of God for everything that he does? Do we constantly point out things in our lives that God has done? This is from God. God allowed this. God kept that from God. And of course, that was a real part of every meal, was it not? As a family would join around the table and bow their heads and pray. Don't you love it when you're in a restaurant eating and you see a family over there and they're... The waitress has brought all the food and you watch the family and they all bow their heads together. Might even hold hands around the table and bow their heads and have a word of prayer thanking God for his goodness. You know, God expects a response for his grace. And he's aware of whether he gets it or not. And so we always teach our children. Now let me encourage you to get beyond, take a step beyond that memorized prayer. What was a little memorized prayer? Take a step beyond the memorized prayer, the rote memory stuff. Talk to God as a person. Let those around you realize that you know God personally. And you are aware of his presence in your life. And you are aware of what he does for you. And you appreciate him immensely for what he does and has done in your life. I love Psalm 107. It's in your little worksheet there. Psalm 107 is a great psalm. Oh, that men would glorify God, would praise him for his goodness, you know, over and over again. Great psalm about thankfulness, awareness. You see, being a person of gratitude opens the heart to further blessings. When we as parents cultivate in the hearts of our children an awareness of what God has done for them, we're cultivating in their heart an appreciation for God that opens their heart to further blessings. And also, the opposite is also true. The reference is there somewhere, Romans chapter 1, that horrible chapter, Romans 1, that chronicles the cultural decline of a civilization into all manner of judgment from God. But you know where it all started? In verse 21, it all started by saying, when they knew God, they glorified Him not God as God, neither were they thankful. You know where the decline of a culture begins? The decline of a culture begins when we lose the common grace of saying, God, thank you for what you did for me today. When we lose the awareness of God's presence, when we lose the awareness of what God is doing right now in my life today, and we stop talking about it, we stop thinking about it, we stop talking about it, and we lose a heart of gratitude to God, that's the beginning of a cultural slide into all manner of perversion that brings the ultimate destruction by the judgment of God. And so, this unthankful heart is fertile soil for all kinds of sins. And so when we teach our children to be thankful, we're cultivating their heart for good things in the future. My favorite passage is Hebrews 13. I wanted to read that this morning, but time is away, so we'll just leave that for you to read. My favorite passage in the Bible about developing gratitude, developing a thankful, even calling it the fruit of our lips as a sacrifice. When you say, you know, God did this for me today, I'm so thankful God did this for our family today, that's a sacrifice that you offered up to God, the fruit of your lips, a sacrifice to God. God expects a response. And He's aware if He gets it or doesn't. And when that gratitude, that thankfulness is extended to God, that is precious to God. Here's the third truth. Jesus saves all those who respond. Jesus saves all those who respond. The last verse in our text says, Jesus said to the one guy that came back, He said to that one guy that came back, in verse number 19, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. That's an interesting statement for a couple of reasons. Number one, it indicates something happened in his life beyond what happened in the other nine. The other nine had a certain measure of faith, because when Jesus said, go to the priest, they were asking for mercy. He said, go to the priest. They went to the priest. They had enough faith in Jesus to do what Jesus told them to do and start heading to the priest before they were healed. They had a certain amount of faith. But this one that singled out, thy faith. There's something different about this one. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the phrase, the word translated, hath made thee whole, is the word that is often translated for salvation or being saved or getting saved. The indication is that Jesus healed 10. But 9 of the 10 only experienced a physical cleansing from leprosy. But one of them, his faith in Jesus Christ went beyond trusting Him for mercy and brought him back to Jesus, fully convinced Jesus is God, and fell on his face and glorified God. And Jesus Christ said, thy faith hath saved thee. And the indication is that what this man experienced was something more than what the 9 men experienced. They experienced a physical cleansing because of a level of faith in Jesus Christ. But this man who came back fully convinced, he saw the value in Jesus. He appreciated Jesus. He was convinced that Jesus was who he had claimed to be. Perhaps he had heard the sermons Jesus had preached for months all over that area. Messages of salvation. This man, the indication is that this man experienced more than a physical cleansing. This man experienced salvation. And could I say that in raising our children, when we teach them the importance of seeing value in another person and being appreciative of that other person, we are cultivating a heart that is responsive to God when He begins to speak to them about how He went to the cross and died for them. And so teaching gratitude has a connection with evangelism because it prepares the heart. I love it when, for years now, since way back in the warehouse, I've been giving out Hershey Kisses to kids. Back in the warehouse, I had my little Hershey Kiss container. Someone, then they gave me an actual Hershey Kiss with a little rotating thing, you know, and the Hershey Kisses pop out. And for years, I've given out Hershey Kisses to kids on Sunday night after church and Wednesday night after church. For years. Kyle used to come and get Hershey Kisses from the pastor. Didn't you, Kyle? Yeah. And so every generation of kids over the last 20 years, 24 years, has grown up getting Hershey Kisses from the pastor on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights after church. Right now I'm enjoying watching little Savannah and Reagan come and get Hershey Kisses. And little Reagan came Wednesday night after church. Savannah, she's my little Hershey Kiss girl because she'll never let me forget. She reminded me this morning before the church. She came up to me, smiling from ear to ear, bouncing up and down with excitement. Hershey Kiss! Tonight, after church. Wednesday night, little Reagan had come and she'd gotten her Hershey Kiss and she didn't talk to you. How old's Reagan? 2. So she came up, a little 2-year-old Reagan got hers and she left. And then sure enough, she came back. As soon as she got to her mom and her mom said, "Did you thank the pastor?" And she came running back, mouthing thank you to the pastor. You know, I love it when I see parents teaching children to be appreciative. When I see parents teaching their kids to say thank you. You know what that is? That's priming the pump for salvation later on. That's preparing the heart to be receptive when the Spirit of God works in their hearts about this thing of salvation. You say, "Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know that. If you knew my life, there's not much for me to be thankful for right now." What was his name? Martin Rinkhart in the 1600s was a pastor in a village in Germany. And the 30-year war had begun. And in the walled city in which Martin lived and was a pastor, he and 2 other men, 3 pastors in that city, and the war, 30-year war broke out, and hordes of refugees were coming through the land, plundering the land, stealing, robbing, destroying, looting. Then the soldiers, the bands, I think the Swedish army came through. It was a horrible time. After the plundering came the famine. After the famine came the plague. And with the plague, people were dying every day. And 2 pastors died in the plague. Martin Rinkhart was the only surviving one. He performed funerals every day as he went from home to home nursing the sick, trying to help people survive. He said as many as, I think it was a funeral over 400 corpses at one time on one day. And then finally his wife died of the plague. And when the war finally ended, Martin died within about a year. But he left us with something. It's on the back of your worksheet. This is what Martin left. Have you ever sung the song, "Now Thank We All Our God"? You talk about hard times. You talk about a bitter existence. You talk about nothing to be thankful for. Nothing to be appreciative of. surviving, burying people day after day. 8,000 people he buried during that war before he finally died. Here's what he left us. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace. Now watch this. And guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father, now be given, the Son, and him who reigns with them in highest heaven. One eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. Could you write that in the turmoil of existence and suffering and pain that he was enduring every day as he buried neighbor after neighbor, as he buried his wife, as he suffered through the horrendous life that God gave him to live? You see, that's a heart of gratitude, a heart that knows how to be appreciative, because the sun still came up and shined. There was grace in the midst of heartache. I say to us as children of God, we need to learn how to be grateful. And we need to be grateful to the extent that those around us who hear us and watch us learn by our example how to be grateful. And in so doing, we will have our closest loved ones' hearts being prepared to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit tell them how much God loves them and what Jesus did for them on the cross. And they will be hearts prepared to repent and believe in Jesus Christ.